In listen only mode.
ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम श्री शांति शांति शांति। श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। विवेक चूड़ामणि श्लोक 105। विषयाणाम् आनुकूल्ये सुखी दुःखी विपर्यये सुखं दुःखं च तद्धर्मः सदानन्दस्य नात्मनः। सो इन दिस श्लोक द आचार्य सेस दैट द अहंकार एक्सपीरियंसेस सुखम एंड दुःखम। The idea is what? The Sukshma Sharira alone is popularly known as Jivaha or Jivatma. We said it is popularly known because it is known by the ignorant people, and ignorance is most popular. Because we talk about Jivatma leaving the body and going to various lokas and all those things, that's what we talk about. But what really they are referring to is only the sukshma shariram, the subtle body only, that alone leaves the physical body at the time of death and acquires various bodies outside. Whereas when Vedanta uses the word jivatma, it means in the sukshma shariram itself, that is the mind, the sukshma shariram itself, there is the borrowed consciousness. And that consciousness is referred as Jivatma in Vedanta. That is the difference. So if you refer to the Sukshma Shariram part, then the Jivatma travels from birth to birth. If you refer to the consciousness part, then Jivatma is all-pervading Paramatma. So that is the distinction we have to make. So when one does Shraddham, Tarpanam and all those things, when they are doing it for the traveling Sukshma Shariram only. Sukshma Shariram part of the Jivatma only. That is the thing that is not the actual Jivatma. The Jivatma, the Sukshma Shariram part of it. At the same time, when I refer to the consciousness part of the Jivatma, we say Tattvam Asi. There is no Shraddha, no Tarpana, none of those things. So in Karmakanda, primary meaning of Jivatma is taken as what? Like this. In the Vedanta, the meaning is taken as the one which is the Tattvamasi meaning, the Paramatma meaning. So no Shraddha, no Tarpana for that Jivatma. So if this distinction is not known, then our scriptures will be mostly confusing only. So the Acharya says, this Jivatma, which is the Ahankara, that is Sukhi and Dukhi. The Jivatma, which is Ahankara. If someone asks whether you are happy or sad, some question is asked, the wise man, what he will say? All those happiness and sadness belong to the mind. I have no such thing at all. Mind belongs to the Sukshma Shariram. I am different from the Sukshma Shariram. That's what the Jnani will say. But the ignorant person, he will say, Jivatma is Sukhi. So, when Vishayanam Anukulye, he will say the Jivatma is Sukhi, the one enjoyer of Sukham. When Vishayanam Anukulye, when everything goes well in his favor, when everybody, including the planets, the Navagrahas, all of them, if they all behave the way I want, then they are Anukulyam. They are all Anukulya. All external things are favorable to me, then I am very happy. So that's what this ignorant person will say. But Vishayanam Viparyaye, when things are not going favorably for me, then I become Dukhi. So all these are struggles of the Jivatma, namely here the Ahankara, not the consciousness part. So the Sukshma Sharira Pradhana Jivatma, that is Ahankara. And then the Acharya says, Sukham Dukhancha Tad Dharmaha. these ups and downs of pleasure and pain, sukham and dukham, they belong to the sukshma shariram, sukshma sharira pradhana jivatma, the ahankara only. We are talking about ahankara, if you remember the continuation from the last class. So the chaitanyam does not have any sukham or dukham. There is no sukham or dukham to consciousness. Similar to whatever happens to the hand, for example, the light is not affected. Light falling on the hand is not affected, whatever happens to the hand. And sadanandasya atmanaha na. None of them belong to the atma. Shankaracharya, very quietly, he forgets the topic. You know, the topic is what? Anatma is the topic. We already discussed this sthula shariram elaborately. Now we are talking about sukshma shariram. Once sukshma shariram is concluded, then he has to go to karana shariram. And then only he can take up this topic of atma. But he makes a diversion here. He is now talking about atma here. Suddenly he says, atma does not have sukham and dukham. Finite pleasure and pain does not hurt atma. Then what is atma? Sadanandasya. It has permanent ananda. So he said in the previous line that atma does not have sukham and dukham. But as there should be a difference. But all experiential. So when he says atma doesn't have sukham or dukham, but now he says it has permanent ananda, then there might appear to be a contradiction. So the difference between that sukham and this atmananda is, all experiential pleasures, they are all called sukham. Whatever I can experience, they are all called sukham. Ananda is non-experiential because experiential pleasure is finite. Why? Because experiences or any experience is only finite. But ananda is what? Ananda is purnatvam, wound up by jnanam, by knowledge. I don't lack anything in life. Aham purnaha asmi. Since this is gained by knowledge, and knowledge being permanent, ananda also is permanent. Swamiji says, atmananda has to be translated to anantam. That's how it should be. Satyam is sat, jnanam is chit, and anantam is ananda. That is how sachidananda has to be split. So, atma is purnaha. Therefore, sadanandasya atmanaha. For the ever purna atma, there is never experiential pleasure nor experiential pain at all. All belong to what? All belong to ahankara. Shloka 106. Atmartatvenahi preyan vishayona svatapriyaham svatayevahi sarvesham atma priyatamoyataham tata atma sadanandaha nasya dukkham kadachanam. In fact, the sukshma shariram topic is over. Shankaracharya has to enter into the karana shariram topic. However, he makes a small diversion talking about atma in these two shlokas. Because while talking about the sukshma shariram, what did he say? He said all pleasures, they belong to sukshma shariram only. Atma does not have sukham or dukham, but it is sadananda swarupaha. That's what he said. And therefore, he wants to explain what is atmananda. What is sadananda? Atmananda he wants to explain. So, in the previous shloka, he used the word sadananda. Now, he explains that word here in this shloka. And he establishes in these two shlokas, this shloka and the next shloka, that Atma is Sadananda Swarupaha, Ananda Swarupaha, by giving the Shruti, Anumana, Pratyaksha Pramanas and Aitihyam. So these are all four different ways of establishing it. So Shruti is using the Vedas, and Anumana using logic, and Pratyaksha based on one's own Anubhava experience. And Aitihyam refers to the words of great acharyas. So using all these, he tries to show that Atma is Ananda Swarupaha. Shruti Pratyaksham Aitihyam Anumanas Chatushtayam. People who have learned this Vedas, they would have, they can remember this. So of these four, Anumana Pramana is given that is given, this is a very actually important topic here. We have to understand this properly. It's a technical topic. What is the reasoning Acharya wants to give? Whatever is an object of liking, any object that you one would like, must be a source of ananda, happiness. Yatra yatra priya vishayatvam, tatra tatra anandatvam. So whatever is an object of liking, then that should be a source of happiness. So if I say I like music, it means music gives me joy. And anything source of sorrow is disliked by us. That is not the topic here actually. We are talking about only sukham. So the moment that object ceases to be a source of happiness, I stop my liking for that object also. This is called generalization or vyapti in Vedanta, in Tarkashastra actually. So yatra yatra dhumaha tatra tatra agnihi. Based on that vyapti, so wherever there is smoke, there should be fire. So based on that generalization, based on that vyapti, if you look at the entire creation, within the creation, there are three things that we like. This is a generalization. Within the entire creation, there are three things that we like. For example, number one, we all like ourselves. So this is self-love, aham. We all like ourselves. And the second thing that we like is the various goals that we want to accomplish in life. That's called sadhyani. I want to get a good job. I want to get a good education. These are all various things. So these are all various goals that we want to accomplish. And to accomplish that goal, we use various means. Various means of accomplishing those means. So we like those means also, sadhanani. So if you list anything that you like, for example, anybody, it will come under any one of these three categories only. Therefore, Vedanta concludes that since all these are objects of liking, they are sources of ananda also. So, aham anandaha. Why? Priya vishayatvat. I like myself. Graham, my house, anandaha. Why? Again, priya vishayatvat. Because it's also priyam to me. I like it. So, graha praptyartham dhanam. So, to get the house, I earn a lot of money, all that thing. So, that is also anandaha. Why? Priya vishayatvat. I like it also. So, this is the first step of reasoning. And the second step of reasoning is, if all the three are ananda, that is self, the sadhyam and sadhanam, if all of them are ananda, which gives me the highest ananda? That is the next question. Yeteshu trishu madhye kaha priya tamaha. Tamaha means superlative degree. So, anandam eva, anandaha eva tamaha. Because someone says, I like my child more than myself. People normally say, you know, oh, I like the child more than myself. I like money more than my house. So, different people say different things. They always compare and say, I like this more. Now, we have to find out what is the greatest source of ananda. Vedanta gives the next step of reasoning, which is whatever is unconditionally liked alone, that must be the highest ananda. Whatever is conditionally liked, that must be the lower source of ananda. For example, when I like a means of achieving something, I like the means, that liking becomes what? Conditional or unconditional. When we analyze, we will know that a means is liked because it is the means for a particular end. I am interested in the end. I am using this means to get that end. And because of I am interested in the end, means is liked as condition. So the means is liked only until I accomplish the end. Once the end is accomplished, the means loses its value. And such a love is called sopadika prema. In Vedanta, it is called sopadika prema, conditional love, upadi. So it's a secondary source. And when you come to an end, does a person love an end for itself? Or is that love conditional again? For example, when somebody comes to the end, that end, like for example, a house. I want to buy a house. I got the house. For which a person worked for so many years, one loves the house. As long as it gives one happiness and comfort. The moment the house becomes a nuisance, or the neighbors are, they are not good, the neighborhood is not good, then the house is, we take every effort to dispose of the house. So these days, people are disposing of wives and husbands also for all this. So Vedanta says, sadhyam, sadhanam, etc. are only conditionally loved. Whatever is favorable, I love. Whatever is not, either I dispose of, or if I cannot, I start hating them. So the whole anatma prapancha is accepted psychologically only favorable, only when it is favorable to us. Otherwise, it's not accepted at all. Then what is that thing that is unconditionally loved? That is the question. And that is myself, aham. Atma alone is unconditionally loved. That is Atmani Nirupadika Prema. The Atma alone, no condition at all. I like it. Actually, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a full chapter that is called Maitreyi Brahmana. It's a very beautiful chapter, very nice chapter. And there are nice, extremely nice, beautiful, you know, slokas there. Nava are patyuhu kamaya patihi priyo bhavati. Upanishad ruthlessly says, nobody loves the wife or the husband for that matter, for the wife's or husband's sake. And these are all actually secrets, should not be told loud, because not to be told outside. Upanishad, there is another meaning of Upanishad, is also secret. But these are all real things. Nava are jayaye kamaya jaya priyo bhavati. Nava are putranam kamaya putraha priyo bhavanti. Nava are vittasya kamaya vittam priyam bhavati. Nava are sarvasya kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. For the sake of oneself, only everything becomes lovable, dear. Because all others, whether it is vittasya kamaya vittam priyam bhavati, because of my association again for vittam, for wealth, for putras, for children, for wife, for husband. So, sarvasya kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati, if I like all of them. So, atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Sadetat preyaha putrat preyo vittat preyo anyasmat sarvasmat antarataram yadayam atmaha atmaneva priyam upasita. Atmanameva priyam upasita. That's how the Upanishad declares. Atma alone is unconditionally loved. And the conclusion is what? Atma alone is the highest ananda in the whole world. Nirupadika prema vishayatvat. Atma sada ananda swarupaha. So that's what it said. So this is the anumanam given in the shloka, in this particular shloka. This is how Atma is the one that is the highest source of ananda. This is called actually, as I mentioned, Maitreyi Brahmanam in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Where Yajnavalkya Maharishi and Maitreyi, he has got two wives. One is Maitreyi, another is Katyayani. They have a Vedantic dialogue. The occasion is very nice. There Yajnavalkya openly tells Maitreyi, oh my dear wife, you don't love me for my sake, nor do I love you for your sake. Then she says, then if Atma is the superior most, why don't you give me that? That's what Maitreyi asks him. Then he said, I am going to take sannyasa and I go away. I will give all my wealth to you. Then she says, I don't want this wealth, since it also cannot give me unconditional ananda. Then Yajnavalkya says, you are the best wife. Actually, he had two wives. He said that because he liked Vedanta and he wanted to teach someone Vedanta. And Maitreyi was ready to learn. She was willing to become his disciple. And so he says, these are all there in the Upanishad. Priya bhatare naha sati priyam bhashase yehi asva vyakyasyamite vyachakshanasya tumim nididhyayasva iti. So that is what he says to her. I am ready to teach. Please come. I am so happy for you. He himself says that the other wife, Katyayani, she likes only material things. So I will give all the money and wealth to her and walk out. So actually it is repeated in the second and the fourth chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Shankaracharya summarizes the entire Maitreyi Brahmanam in three lines here. Now, if you look at the shloka, it's very, very interesting. Atmarthatvenahi preyan. Everything is liked by me only for my own personal benefit. Atmarthatvena. For my personal benefit alone, everything is liked. Not for their own sake at all. A daughter, for example, the father loved the daughter so much and said, without my life, you know, my entire life, I love this daughter. She is the best I have got. You know, without her, my life is all no meaningful. All that thing he said to her. The moment that daughter comes and says that she wants to marry someone that the father does not like, then immediately the color changes. We are not talking about moral issue or anything here. Right or wrong, we are not analyzing any of them. We are just saying the philosophical issue. What will happen to my status? How will I face people? I have got so much of hopes about this marriage and all that thing for my daughter. Now what is happening? So he immediately starts to even hate that daughter. I don't want to see her anymore. She can leave the house. People go to all kinds of stupid extents whenever they themselves forget what they are doing and what they are conducting themselves now. So he says, Atmarthatvenahi preyan. Only for my sake, everything I like. Swataha na priyaha. Nothing is liked for its own sake. Then question will be, if self-love is natural and it also is unconditional, and also that we can never unconditionally love the world also, then how come the scriptures talk about universal love as goal of one's life? Because scripture always tells us you should love everything. So all the things you love, everything in the universe. The Upanishad seems to then contradict itself. When it says that everyone loves Atma only, how can it then postulate this universal love? Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati is a natural fact. Then how come the Upanishad talk about such goal of universal life will be the question. Then the scriptures say it is possible only under one condition. And that also is said in the Maitreyi Brahmanam itself. It expects this question perhaps and it also answers in the Brahmanam. Upanishad says, universal love is possible only when I can see the whole universe as Atma. Then only it is possible. Idam Brahma, idam Kshatram, ime Loka, ime Vedaha, imani Sarvani Bhutani, idagam Sarvam, yadayam Atma. For a wise man, there is no Anatma. Because he has discovered that Anatma is only a karyam, the effect. Atma only is the karana, the cause. Therefore, the essence of Anatma is only Atma. Because the essence of karyam is the effect of, is the karana. Karyam is the effect, the essence of karyam, the effect is the karana. Since I am the universal cause, since the universe has come out of me only, mayeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam. So we saw all those things earlier. So for example, if you take the wave in the ocean, the wave cannot love another wave as long as the other waves stand separate from it. But the, once the wave understands that I am only water substantially, the wave can say that I am only water and all other waves are nothing but me, the water only. And if everything, all other things are only water. So sarva bhutatma bhutatma, sarva bhutastam atmanam, sarva bhutani chatmani. So when that kind of an outlook comes as for a jnani, then for that person, he can love the Atma himself because the entire, he can love the entire universe also as oneself because he doesn't find a distinction between himself and the universe. So in the vision of a jnani, there is no world other than Atma. Therefore, he also has self-love only, but the self has become a capital self, capital S. It includes the whole creation. Thus, self-love is equal to universal love in the eyes of a jnani. and self-love is a petty love in the eyes of an Ajnani. And this is actually an aside topic. This is not the topic discussed in this shloka, but just we want to just mention that because this is an incidental point related to this point. Then if you coming to the main topic, what about Atma? Atma tu priyatamaha. Everything is not priyatama. Priyatama is, tama is superlative. They may be liked, but they are not superlatively liked. Tama indicates superlative degree. So sadhanam is priyam, sadhyam is priyataram, and atma is priyatamam. The goal is priyam. I like the goal. Sadhyam priyataram comparatively better, and atma priyatamam the highest. So a means is priyam, sadhanam is priyam, and end sadhyam is priyataram, and atma is priyatamam. So it is the greatest source of ananda. Therefore he says, sarvesham, for everyone, atma is the maximum loved. Swataha eva, unconditionally everyone likes the self. There is no condition at all. Not only it is unconditional, another thing also is very important here. It is universal. So no object in creation is universally liked. What is food for one, perhaps maybe poison for another person. Swami Dayananda very nicely he says, in any road there is a two-way traffic is there. One is running away from there, another is equally speedily running in. This is always the case. For one it is a priya vishayaha, for the other it is a dvesha vishayaha. One likes it, another one doesn't like. Seems there was a Canadian woman, it seems, who attended Swamiji's courses in Coimbatore, Sanvedanta and all that. And she is used to say, it seems, what sin that I have done that I am born in Canada. She wanted to be born in India. She wants to be in India. Whereas so many others in India want to go to America and Canada, including many of us. So Atma is the only thing which is universally and unconditionally liked. Therefore what? Tataha Atma Sadanandaha. Atma is Sadanandaha. Always it is Ananda Swarupaha. The highest Ananda Swarupaha, ever Ananda Swarupaha, Sadananda Swarupaha, Atma. And therefore what? Asya Dukkham Kadacharanasti. Therefore Atma is pure unalloyed Ananda. There is no Dukkham at all mixed with that. This is also very important because when we say all others are conditional ananda, when the condition is gone, I am happy now because of so-and-so condition. When that condition is gone, they become source of dukkham. Whereas Atma is ever source of ananda, only not of any dukkham at all. It is unalloyed without any dukkham. Asya dukkham kadachana nasti. Shloka 107. Yat sushuptau nirvishayaha atmanandonubhuyate shruti pratyakshamaitihyam anumanancha jagrati. We already mentioned this shruti in the pramanas in the last shloka, but this is already out being discussed here. So in the previous shloka, what was discussed? The logic was given, tarka. Atma sadanandaha nirupadika priya vishayatvat. That was the conclusion there. This is the reasoning in the technical language. In simple terms, Atma is ananda swarupaha because it is universally and unconditionally liked. Atma is unconditionally liked, universally liked. Having talked about anumana pramana, that is the logic, now Shankaracharya comes to pratyaksha pramana, which is very powerful. What is that? In sushupti, in deep sleep, what happens? It is universally and unconditionally liked by everybody. Everybody likes sleep. Many people don't want to get up at all in the morning. If it is Saturday, forget it. So many people don't want to get up. When the sleep does not come for any reason, for some reason this sleep, it becomes a big problem. The entire night one is tossing back and forth and all. It's a big problem. Many people need even sleeping dose and all that. So if sleep is a source of ananda, what is really there in sleep? How can we call it sleep is a source of ananda? There is only one thing available in sleep, namely the chetana vastu, the conscious principle only. Nothing else is there. The entire world is not available during my sleep. because all sense organs are shut off. They are all not operational. The world is folded. Sleep ananda cannot come from music. I cannot play a music player and then say, okay, I can be having a lot of happiness during sleep. No. Since ears are not available, sleep ananda cannot come from my body or even my intellect or mind. All of them are resolved during deep sleep. So in sleep, the ananda does not come from anywhere outside. It is atmananda alone, not any vishaya ananda. It is all atmananda. So sleep ananda is called nirvishaya ananda. No vishaya ananda, nirvishaya ananda, without any objects. Another name for atmananda is nirvishaya ananda. So Shankaracharya ki says, this is not atman, this is not vishaya ananda. So sushuptau nirvishayaha atmanandaha anubhuyate. There is only one source of ananda which is not coming from any vishayaha, any object outside, not sensory pleasure at all. So he has talked about anumanam in the previous sloka and anumana pramana and pratyaksha pramana. So Shankaracharya, he does not give actually the shruti pramana, because shruti means Vedas. He doesn't give that, but we can supply. We have so many places where we have seen the shruti pramanam. The well-known one is in Taittiriya Upanishad. Tasya priyame vashiraha modo dakshina pakshaha pramoda uttara pakshaha ananda atma brahma puccham pratishta. So this is the shruti evidence. Evidence from the Vedas to show atma, ananda atma. Atma is ananda surupaha. So anumana pramanam is over. Pratyaksha pramanam is over. Shruti pramanam also we have supplied. Then the fourth one that is mentioned in this shloka is aitihyam, the statement of acharyas and the sages, scholars, the Purana itihasas. So whatever they say about ananda. So that is the fourth pramanam. And for this case, we will give a quotation from a work called Panchadashi, which is a great Vedanta grantha written by one of the acharyas of the Sringeri Peetam, namely Vidyaranya, in the 14th century, actually 1377, 1386 AD, that kind of time frame. So he is the great Acharya in. He is also called by another name, Madhavacharya. So that is why the Shankara Digvijayam that he wrote, it is also called Madhaviya Shankara Digvijayam. So he wrote Panchadashi, a great Vedanta Grantha. He wrote also Drigdrishya Viveka, another very nice this thing, Jivan Mumukti Viveka, Upanishad Deepika. So many nice works he has done, also Veda Bhashyas. He is also supposed to be the brother of the Shayana. Shayana is supposed to be another Veda Bhashyakara. So he is supposed to be the brother of Shayana also. And another interesting thing is this Vidyaranya, he is the founder of the Vijayanagara Samrajya, Harihara book and all that thing. So he was the, historically, that was this Hindu kingdom in the midst of all other foreign invasions and all that, which ruled for over 300 years. It's a very, very great historical significance for Sanatana Dharmis, and that was founded by this Acharya. And he has written in Panchadashi, Iyama Atma Paranandaha Parapremaspadam Yataha Mana Bhruvam Hibhuyasam Iti Prematma Nikshyate. The self is the highest bliss, as it is the object of highest love. This love in the self is very well seen. I must not cease to be as I must ever be. Atma Swarupaha, I am ever reveling in bliss only. Tat prema artham anyatra naiva manyartham atmani atastat paramam tena paramananda atmanaha. So the love for other things is for the sake of the self only, or self-love only. The love in the self is not like that. For the sake of any other thing, there is no such thing at all. So the love in the self is the highest. So Acharyam, he declares here. So this is Aitihyam, Pramana from the words of Acharyas. But Adi Shankara cannot use this because this Acharya is from a much later time. He is one of the, in the Shishya Parampara he is. We are using it because for our discussion's sake, Shankaracharya would not have used it. If he had to use, he has to use something from the previous Acharyas, maybe Vedavyasa or somebody else. We only used it here. So Vidyaranya Swamiji is giving this. Shankara himself, as I told, cannot quote. So, or even in Ramayana or in Mahabharata, all of them they say Atma Ananda Swarupaha. So, this is Aitihyam. So, he concludes Shrutihi, Pratyaksham, Aitihyam, Anumanancha. The four pramanas, the four doctrines, two are given by Shankaracharya, two we have supplied. Two of the Anumana Pramana and Pratyaksha Pramana Shankaracharya gave. We gave Shruti Pramana and Aitihya Pramana. So, all the four evidences, Jagrati, Jagrati means they reveal that Atma is Sadananda Swarupaha. They reveal Atma is Sadananda Swarupaha. And therefore what? Asya Dukkham Kadachana Nasti. So, that is what he, I'm sorry, Jagrati, they reveal Atma is Ananda Swarupaha. Shloka 108. Avyaktanamni Paramesha Shaktihi Anadya Vidya Trigunatmika Param Karyanumeya Sudhyaiva Maya Yaya Jagat Sarvamidam Prasuyate. So with the previous shloka, the Sukshma Shariram topic is over, which started from shloka 92 and went up to shloka 107. And there also the last two shlokas, 106 and 107, they are not exactly Sukshma Shariram topic, but an aside topic, a diversion topic on Atma. So from 108 onwards, shloka 108, this present shloka onwards, we enter into the next Anatma topic, namely the Karana Shariram topic. So Stula Shariram is over, Sukshma Shariram is over, Karana Shariram is the next topic. That is the third part of Anatma. This is discussed up to shloka 123. So 108 to 123, the topic is Karana Shariram, the causal body. And as we know, matter can never be produced nor destroyed. This is a basic law. Destruction means what? Destruction means conversion to a subtler form or unmanifest form. That's what it means. Just like matter is converted to energy and can get reconverted to matter. In the Shastras, we say matter has got manifest form or vyakta rupam, manifest form. And when matter is destroyed, it goes back to unmanifest form or avyakta rupam. So from vyakta rupam to avyakta rupam, it transforms. And if you extend the same thing, same argument, and to put it in simpler terms, Karana Shariram, as the very name shows, it is Karanam for Stula Shariram and Sukshma Shariram. In Tattva Bodha, we have seen Sharira Dvayasyam Karana Matram. So it is supposed to be the cause for the other two bodies. The physical body and the subtle body, they are born out of Karana Shariram only. Karana Shariram in potential form, in dormant form. That means before these two bodies were born, that is the Stula Shariram grass body and the subtle body are born, at the time of Pralaya Kalam, before Srishti, all our bodies and minds, they were there even during Pralaya. All our bodies were there, mind was, everything was there, but not in this condition as we see now, but in their seed condition. Like for example, a huge tree was there before in the seed condition. Inside the seed, all the information regarding the tree is there, but they are all in the seed condition. And that seed condition of body and mind, that is called Karana Sharira, that unmanifest form of the grass body and subtle body, that is called seed condition, that is Karana Sharira. And during Srishti, during creation, the Karana Shariram sprouts into Stula Sukshma Shariras, and during Pralaya, it again comes back to seed condition. So this cycle continues. During creation, it sprouts into manifest form. During Pralaya, it goes back into dormant form. So tree and seed to tree, seed to tree to seed to tree, this goes on continuing, that is expansion, contraction, evolution, involution. This process go on forever. This is called the whole creation. It does not have a beginning or end. It is eternal cyclic process. That means what? We are eternally present. We don't have to think we are only present in this Janma. We are eternally present, either in expanded form or in contracted form. We are eternally present. we can extend the same argument to the macrocosm also, the samashti level. So when I say I am eternally present, this prapancha universe also is eternally present, then the sthula sukshma prapancha, as we call the sthula sukshma sharira, now we are talking the sthula sukshma prapancha universe, that also the products, and all of them must have been there in potential form during pralaya, which includes these sthula sukshma bhutani, all the things in this prapancha. So even the gross elements and subtle elements, that must have existed in potential form, in dormant form, in unmanifest form, and we call that as karana prapancha. As we have karana shariram in the case of an individual, we call it karana prapancha in the case of the total. At the vashti level, we use the word karana shariram. At the samashti level, we use the word karana prapancha. Now, when we talk about the karana level or state of existence, even though we use the word karana shariram and karana prapancha, strictly speaking, at the karana level, at the causal level, the microcosm, macrocosm division, that is not very evident at all. Even though it is evident at the sthula sukshma levels, at the gross level and subtle levels, but at the karana level, they are not evident. I can talk about individual body and total creation. I can talk about individual mind and total mind. But at the karana level, at the causal level, even though the individual and total must be there, it will not be evident, because the very karanam is what? Avyakta, it is unmanifest. For example, if you take the seed of a tree, we can see the tree after it comes out. But when it is in the seed form, you cannot see any differences of the tree in the seed form, like the branches, like the flowers, like the leaves and all those things you cannot see, because they are all in unmanifest condition. Therefore, in the Shastras, we have two approaches. One, they make a division between Karana Shariram and Karana Prapancha, that is one approach. And second approach is, they don't make this distinction, because this distinction is not evident. So during the waking state, when we are all waking state, I can experience the divisions. When I am awake, I can see all differences. During the dream state, I can experience the divisions. Actually, in the dream state, whatever in the dream world, I see so much of differences. But in the deep sleep state, in the Sushupti state, where everything has gone into unmanifest potential dormant condition, I cannot experience the division between me and the world. I cannot experience any difference at all. The difference between the microcosm and the macrocosm, I cannot see. That is why Karana Avastha is called Nirvikalpaka Avastha. Another name I am giving here. Karana Avastha is called Nirvikalpaka Avastha, and therefore here Shankaracharya, he will not distinguish between Karana Shariram and Karana Prapancha. He treats both of them as identical. That's what he does here. So when he says Karana Shariram, Karana Prapancha is also included. Both are treated as identically here. So we will discuss the Karana Shariram as identical with Karana Prapancha. That the micro-macro division is not maintained in this discussion. It is indiscriminately used by the author. Therefore, what is the topic of discussion? Karana Shariram, or otherwise Karana Prapancha. Both are used synonymously. Karana Shariram is called also by another name, Avidya here. Avidya means ignorance. But here the causal body is called Avidya. And Karana Prapancham also by another name, Maya. So Karana Shariram is called by the name Avidya at the individual level, and Karana Prapancha is called by another name, Maya, at the total level. And in this portion, the author does not distinguish between Avidya and Maya. So when I say Avidya, it is Karana Shariram. When I say Maya, it is Karana Prapancha. They are treated synonymously. And what is the logic behind it? Because at the Karana level, at the causal level, the distinctions are not evident. So in this discussion, Avidya is equal to Maya. So Avidya in the case of Karana Shariram and maya in the case of karana prapancha are treated synonymously. So that means avidya is equal to maya. So with this background, now let us study the karana sharira. So to understand this shloka, I had to give all this preambles. So this is why Shankaracharya introduces maya while discussing karana shariram in this shloka. Now let us look at the words in the shloka one by one. Each word is very significant. This is a very important shloka. So karana shariram is called maya, and why it is called maya, that is going to be explained actually in the next shloka. And so we will not give that explanation here. That significance, we will not give it here. Except that let us know that there is this word which is going to be explained subsequently. So karana shariram is equal to maya. That is the potential form of all the products. In the entire prapancha, that is maya is the potential form. And this maya is avyakta namni. The first word, avyakta namni. This maya is avyakta namni. It is of the name called avyaktam. It is another name. Maya, another name is avyaktam. Why it is called so? It means unmanifest potential seed condition, that is called avyaktam. Therefore, in seed form of matter, distinctions are not clear. Even scientists, when they study matter, they go to molecules, to atoms, to subatomic particles, and on they go and come to a stage where they say they will not be able to be definite conclusion with any further study. So they come up to that stage and then they talk about forces, this, that and all, and nothing more is revealed during that kind of study in science also. So all uncertainty principles and all, they come to existence, taken because it is not available for our instruments of measurement or perception. So avyaktam means indriya agocharam, not available for perception through our indriyas, proof by beyond any instruments of analysis. So avyakta namni, then what is the next feature or definition of karana shariram? Paramesha Shaktihi. First name is Avyaktam. Second, Paramesha Shaktihi. Shaktihi means power. Because when matter is reduced into energy, what do we call it? We call it Shakti or power. And we know that any power has to be located in some powerful locus. For example, the speaking power is not independently located. It is in the speaker. The writing power, it is not independently there, it is in the writer. So any Shakti must be wielded by a Shaktiman, a person endowed with that power. And what is that locus in which the whole power is located? The Samashti power, what is located? Parameshaha, the conscious principle, or Brahman, or Atma, which we will see actually later. We are going to have an elaborate discussion after Karnasim is concluded. But Parameshaha, the conscious principle. So, Parameshasya Brahmana Shaktihi. That is what? The entire potential creation. Or all the Karna Shariram and all the Karna Prapancha are all powers located in Brahman. So, what is the third word for Karna Shariram now? Shaktihi. So, Avyaktam. Now, this is Shakti, he is the third. So, this also has another significance. That is, whatever we talk about, whenever we talk about any Shakti, we can never talk about it independently at all. It is always dependent on someone. So, dependence of matter is indicated in this shloka. Matter cannot independently exist. It has to depend on conscious principle, unlike in science. According to science, what is the situation there? Matter is independently existent and consciousness is born out of matter. They say it is like a brainy phenomenon. The consciousness phenomenon will come and go, but the matter will remain. That is the basic dichotomy or division between Vedanta and science. Vedanta says matter is only a Shakti, a potential, which is in consciousness. And this potential also, that alone manifests as the universe. which appears and disappears. Where in consciousness? And this appearance power is there in consciousness. That's what Vedanta says. And that is why our shastras are called spiritual science. And all other sciences are called material sciences. Unfortunately, the problem is what? That the consciousness is the basic stuff. It's an information we gather from shastras only. The consciousness as the basic stuff is the information we gain from the shastras only. Science has never been able to prove this fact by using any number of scientific methods. So they will always have a problem with respect to this consciousness. Whereas this information we gather from where? Not by Pratyaksha or Anumana Pramanas, but from the Upanishad Shastram, Shruti Pramana only. And therefore, based on that, Shankaracharya reveals nature of matter as power, which is depending on the conscious principle. Consciousness is first. So, conscious principle is what is going to be discussed. So, that is first and matter is later. So, according to Vedanta, consciousness is first, Chaitanyam, and matter is later. Therefore, Paramesha Shaktihi. And what is the next feature? Anadi Avidya. Karna Shariram or Maya or Avyaktam or Shakti. All are various terms. Just now we saw. Karna Shariram or Maya or Avyaktam or Shakti. All are synonymous. It is Anadi. Doesn't have any beginning at all. We are talking about Karna Shariram, not Chaitanyam. Let us remember that. Karna Shariram is Anadi. Doesn't have any beginning. If you talk of creation, it is not beginning of matter. Whenever we talk of creation, it is not beginning of matter, but beginning of the manifestation of matter. So creation is not there because matter cannot be created. There is no creation at all. It is a misnomer. Using the word creation is a misnomer. So by creation, what do we really mean? The transformation of unmanifest to manifest. The transformation of the potential form of matter into the created form, manifest form. So it is anadi, no beginning. And the next significant word is avidya. So anadi is now avidya. Here avidya should not be translated as ignorance. We have to be careful. It is not ignorance because ignorance is a condition of the mind, which we know. But we are talking about avidya, which is the cause of the mind itself. Because we are talking about Karna Shariram. We call the Karna Shariram as avidya. So the word avidya is a technical word. It is paribhasha sabdaha. It's a paribhasha technical word. So what is the meaning of the word avidya now? Different meanings are there. We will see one significant meaning for this word here, which the commentator gives here in this loka itself. Avidya is that which that does not have independent existence. Because according to Vedanta, matter cannot exist independent of consciousness, basic rule. Consciousness lends existence to matter. And how do you get this meaning actually? Avidya, it is derived from the root vid, to exist, fourth conjugation. So vidyate, to exist, avidya, that which does not exist independently. An example is what? We can call this desk, for example, as avidya. How do we call this desk avidya? How do we understand that? This is wood. Desk is wood. We have two names now, wood and desk. Correspondingly, we don't have two objects. We have only one object, but two names, wood and desk. So the subject is only the wood. Desk is only a word I use and does not have a substantiality associated with that of its own. The weight of this desk belongs to what? The wood only. So, avidya swataha na vidyate iti avidya. Swataha na vidyate. That which does not exist by itself. So, according to Vedanta, matter does not have the substantiality of its own. According to Vedanta. So, it is non-substantial. Then, what is the substance behind it? All these things are all, when you look at this analysis, they all seems to be reversed completely from science. It says consciousness is the stuff of the universe. matter is only a name or form and it is avidya. So avyaktam, maya, shaktihi, avidya, all different names of karana shariram. And the next word is trigunatmika para. This is a significant word which we will elaborate actually later, but we will see here whatever is the required meaning. This maya, which is the cause of this universe, has three features or faculties, trigunatmika. How do we know that it has got three features? Because we cannot see it, since it is avyaktam, it is unmanifest in maya, we cannot see it, it is invisible, it is imperceptible. For that we say, from the nature of the product, we can infer the features. For example, we have a law in Sanskrit, karana gunaha karye anuvartante. The gunas are the karanam, they are all seen in the karyam, the effect. The features of the cause, they pervade the effect. That is why we say parents' features, characters are seen in the children. Even diseases sometimes, it's hereditary, come through. We say children will have disposition towards, if parents, towards something, parents have that. Similarly, maya's features also can be inferred from the features of the universe. And the features of the universe, they have been broadly classified into three. The feature of activity called the Kriya Shakti, because of which it functions. The inert things in creation do not have, they don't do any action themselves. Actually, sentient living beings are capable of doing thoughtful actions. Kriya Shakti. Physical body is capable to do functions. The mind can function. All Kriya Shakti. Then the next one is called Jnana Shakti. The ability to know in the sukshma shariram especially. And the sense organs, jnanendriyani, they have the capacity to know. And the third one, that is not Icha Shakti, the third one is called the Dravya Shaktihi, which is called inertia, which is the absence of the previous two Shaktis. No Kriya Shakti, no Jnana Shakti. So in fact, if you look at this creation, you can find actually a gradation. For example, the human beings, they have got Jnana Shakti, full capacity to know. They have got all that, which makes superior human beings. The elephant is so big, but a human being is capable of handling such a huge elephant because of intellect. He conquers everything because of his intelligence. The Lord has given defensive mechanism for all animals. But for the human, the Lord has given buddhi. He can defend himself with buddhi. Jnana Shakti is predominant, and for lower creations, that becomes less and less for animals and plants. So when you go to plants, etc., it is almost absent. Similarly, Kriya Shakti also is more with the humans and gradually becomes less and less in this case of lower creations. And then if you take inert object like a stone, they have no capacity either to know or do any action by themselves. So it has got Dravya Shakti only. So the whole creation has got now these three faculties in different proportions. Even us, during sleep, we don't have Jnana Shakti or Kriya Shakti, but we have only Dravya Shakti during sleep. Since these differences are there in Prapancha, in the Maya also, they should be there. Maya is the cause. If they are all seen in the Prapancha, the effect, it should have been there in the Maya. So we call them Sattva Guna representing Jnana Shakti, Rajo Guna representing Kriya Shakti, and Tamo Guna representing the inertia, the Dravya Shakti. Therefore, it is called Trigunatmika Maya. In Tattva Bodha, we have seen this Brahmashraya Sattva Rajas Tamo Gunatmika Maya Asti, if you remember that. And Para, the next word, Para means superior. Superior to what? Not to Atma. It is dependent on Atma and so can never be superior to Atma, but it is superior to the entire creation, which is its product. Creation is its product of Maya. So Maya the Karanam is superior to the Prapancha, which is the Karyam. So Maya is like parent and Prapancha is like the child. So always child should respect the parents, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava. So that is all taught in our scriptures. So Maya is called Para, Atma is called Paratpara, Paratpara, Parameshwara, Atma is called Parat. Maya is another word for Karana Sharira. It's the significance of the word we will see as I told in the next shloka. Then కార్యాత్ కార్యానుమేయం. కారణ అవస్థ ఈజ్ నెవర్ పర్సెప్టిబుల్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ కెన్ బి ఇన్ఫరబుల్. సపోజ్ ద హోల్ క్రియేషన్ ఈజ్ రిజాల్వ్, వి సే అవ్యక్త అవస్థ విల్ బి దేర్ వెన్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఆల్ రిజాల్వ్. కెన్ ఎనీ వన్ సీ అవ్యక్త అవస్థ? వెన్ వి టాక్ అబౌట్ ద రిసల్యూషన్ ఆఫ్ ద హోల్ యూనివర్స్, ఇట్ ఇన్క్లూడ్స్ అవర్ బాడీ మైండ్ ఆల్సో, వీ కెనాట్ సీ ఎనీథింగ్. So if I have to talk about that state, it should be based on inference only, supported by shastras. And what is the inference? For example, when anything is destroyed, it does not become non-existent. As they say, when a candle burns, nothing is destroyed. That is, by destruction we mean only conversion into unmanifest form. Similarly, when the world is destroyed, it will go into unmanifest form only. That is the inference number one. And the second inference is, nothing comes out of nothing. If I want a clock, I need some resource, some raw material to make the clock. If this is my perception experience, I have to extend this to the cosmos as a whole. If the cosmos is an effect, karyam, from what can I infer then? The karanam can be inferred from the karyam, the effect. Therefore, karanam is called karya anumeyam. We are trying to explain that word, anumeya. Karya anumeyam. Karanam is called karya anumeyam. And why should you go for inference? Because it is not perceptible. For example, like great-great-grandfather. We have not seen our great-great-grandfather perhaps. But we infer he should have been there because I am there today. So what is maya? Karya anumeya is never pratyaksham. It is based on only inference. Like shakti, avyaktam, etc., which are never pratyaksham also. So you cannot directly see. You can only infer shakti. But this inference can be done by whom? Sudhiya. Sudhiya means an intelligent person who knows the basic law. Nothing can be created out of nothing. That is the law he knows. Eva. Eva means this should go with anumeya. Anumeya eva. It can be inferred only. So that means it can never be perceived. You have to only infer. Even if you ask a scientist what was there before Big Bang, he has to still scratch his head only, because nobody can say what was before the Big Bang. So that is the condition of that particular thing. So here, sudhiya karya anumeya eva. So these are all descriptions of karana shariram or karana prapancha. And the final line, Shankaracharya says that yaya, from this karana avastha alone, idam jagat prasuyate, the whole universe is born. Idam jagat, whole universe is prasuyate, born from the karana avastha. We are using the word karana avastha. Note it. I am not using the word karana shariram. Consciously only we are using the word karana avastha. Swamiji uses it because we cannot say the whole cosmos has come from karana shariram. Karana shariram is vyakti, individual. Then it will be sthula sukshma shariram. It has come from karana shariram. But when we talk about the whole prapancha, the whole cosmos, we have used the word karana avastha, that state. So because at karana level, at the causal level, we are not distinguishing between vyashti and samashti, individual and total. So we say, out of this karana avastha, the whole universe is born, which consists of both sthula sukshma shariram and sthula sukshma prapancha. And the deep sleep state is the closest to the pralaya state experientially, because there you don't feel yourself as a distinct individual at all. The world also, you don't feel anything. Your knowledge, your ignorance, everything, they are all in dormant condition. You don't experience any of them. Then can you say nothing is there during deep sleep? Like the Shunyavadis, you know, Shunyavadis, they say there is nothingness. No, we don't call it nothingness, because if sleep state is nothingness, we will never wake up, because from nothingness, nothing can come out. And so your worries, your knowledge, etc., they were all in potential condition during sleep. And when you wake up, they all become manifest. They all came back. That is why for maya, there is another word in shastras மகா சுஷுப்திஹி தி கிரேட்டஸ்ட் ஸ்லீப் ஃபார் மாயா. தேர்ஃபோர் யயா மாயையா, அவுட் ஆஃப் திஸ் மாயையா மாயா அலோன் இதம் ஜெகத் பிரசூயதே, திஸ் யூனிவர்ஸ் இஸ் பார்ன். So we will continue with the next shlokam, the next webinar. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtita tasya prakriti linasya yapara samaheshwara sri krishna namastu narayana.